This developing story is brought to you by me, because I'm recording this. It's also brought to you by Block, because they pay for my salary. If you have any interest in learning how to code online with a mentor, send me an email at hello@briandouglas.me.
Just a reminder, I have a special project I've been working on. It's called mutualfun.io, mutualfun.io. If you need help with code, next steps, check it out, and I could probably assist. mutualfun.io.
Episode 24 of This Developing Story. So this week I wrote a blog post on Rust and why you would choose Rust as a Rubyist. I know Steve Klabnik made the Rust for Rubyist book a few years ago, and it's kind of been deprecated into the Rust book. I kind of mentioned this two podcasts ago, and I'm not trying to reiterate what he did. I'm just trying to, in this blog post, just kind of explain why I'm interested in Rust and kind of give a brief overview of it and how I look onto it. So I don't go super in depth in like different things about Rust just because I don't understand them yet. But the blog post is more of like a brief intro and what I understand so far about Rust. So that blog post is out there. I tweeted it out this morning and put it on the Ruby flow. So it's sort of related to Ruby. And check that out. After all this focus on learning iOS and Objective-C and continuing to do that, and also now I'm kind of peeking into Rust. I didn't really expect this to happen, but I just realized that I think one of the first few episodes, I kind of looked at my goals for 2015 and what my goals were as far as programming languages and what I wanted to do. Two things I've done without even knowing. One thing was write a tutorial. I did that with my last blog post. I did a Rails API gem tutorial. So I wrote that, which was my first tutorial start to finish, which was pretty awesome. Not even realizing I did that. Also, the other thing I didn't think I was going to get to at all was learning Rust. And that was one of my on my list of things to do. So Go and Rust became like my languages of choice to learn for this year. I think Swift is also in that list. But I think I'll be learning Swift in the next month or so as I continue to learn iOS. And so I kind of knocked off all three languages that I was interested in doing. iOS was also one of my goals from last year that I actually completed. I actually did build a Swift app before the end of the year. So I kind of hit that goal. But I did want to dive more deep into Swift. So I just thought that was a neat for myself that I actually started doing Rust without an actual clear goal. I just kind of fell into it with Rust Camp being available to me. I felt like I needed to read some more documentation on Rust, which prior to that I didn't do. And so that's a one checkbox off for this year. So I have yet to give an update on my Hustlin' app that I've been doing. My goal was the end of July for finishing that app and having it live and pretty in an Ember format. Unfortunately, I've yet to get back into doing this app. I got it up on Ember and posted it using Netlify, which is a static hosting service, and I have not looked back and got into that. I actually kind of slipped my mind, to be honest. I've been using it not as regularly as I thought I would have. So I'm curious to know if this is actually going to be a good use case. Maybe I need to start looking at adding another feature other than just the baseball API. Because what I found is now that we're in the middle of the season of baseball, I didn't know that it was like this here, but it's definitely like this in Tampa with the Tampa Bay Rays. Baseball is just more and more uninteresting to people during the summer. I think they have more day games, which causes less people to go. I'm not really sure what the deal is. I was never a huge baseball fan. I did watch quite a few games in my time, but so needless to say, it's not as big of an issue as far as baseball here. Plus the fact I think that the Giants are below 500 they're not too far off. Baseball is weird where you could be having a losing season the first half of the year and then still go to the World Series. So however that works, I guess they're not too far down off of 500, but I guess baseball itself is just not as interesting to people in the city. I'm just not running into as many people on the train. So I think I'm going to start looking into adding custom events so that way I can add custom events from the website to be able to keep up to date on what's happening in the city and inform people about things in the BART. I haven't really publicly given out the URL other than this podcast, so it's not really opened to many people. Actually, anybody can kind of find the app, but regardless, I haven't really been promoting it. I kind of missed a deadline on that. And just haven't really done anything new to that. Hopefully, as I start wrapping more things up in Rust, I do have plans to start a project. Actually, I just mentioned it. So I have an idea of adding a Slack integration using Rust. Rust is a pretty nice command line language. But, I think it will be easy enough to kind of integrate on a Slack API and Rust once I figure out how that works. If not, I might do a Ruby gem to connect some Rust code to do what I'm planning on doing. But I'll get in more details in the future once I start looking on a way to do it. Hopefully, that'll only take maybe an hour or two to get done. Two individuals, actually, I met that were alum for Hackbright that I met at Rust Camp were very, very impressive. I think they finished Hackbright around the same time I did Block. So they've been working full-time for, I guess, give or take, as long as I have. And, they were impressive as far as the amount of stuff that they're into. I guess, the perceived knowledge in code. They obviously, as I was talking to them, they knew what they were talking about, and more so, they do. It just seemed like they knew more than I did. One of them was actually very, very involved in the Scala community, and had some mentors from Twitter kind of bring her up. And then the other one was very knowledgeable in low-level programming, which I felt like I needed to brush up more. And I found it unique that both of them were career changers, came from different areas like I did, and now doing well. I think that also is a testament of being in San Francisco and it being the place where you kind of get your feet wet in the industry. I think there's a lot more opportunity as there here than there was for me out in Florida. Though I did spend a lot of time learning a lot. I didn't have these conferences and meetups like individuals have here. So I think hopefully in the next year I'll see my skill level increase, and I'm looking forward to seeing where I'll be a year from now. So I just mentioned briefly about the individual they met at Rust Camp, and I just want to take a time to kind of give my perspective as being a Black person here in the city, and also particularly in tech. I don't know. This is my only opinion. So this is not what everybody feels as a Black male. I guess I'll just market myself as that. I feel like there is less of a focus on Black people in tech here in the city. I've yet to attend one of the diversity meetups. For one, they have very, very small numbers. They have a very small limit of the amount of people that I could attend for whatever reason. So I've yet to actually be able to RSVP and attend. But I definitely feel the focus is on women in tech, which is fine. I highly recommend that focus to stay intact. I think women in tech is a lot easier, hurdle to get over. For one, there's definitely more women in the city than there are Black people here. And with that being, there's also more women in tech than there are Black or African-American. And so I feel like it's not really that big of a deal that I am part of the tech community. I do get some glances and stares. And I feel like when I go to meetups or conferences, I feel like people reach out to me more probably because of that. I don't know, just being the elephant in the room. Not to mention, I am unique. I don't usually see many other people that look like me when I go to meetups and conferences. But, you know, with that being said, that's just my perspective. Hopefully that will change in the next few years as we get more women in tech. There'll be more of a focus. But I did want to point out some different organizations that are here within the Bay Area, one being Hack the Hood. I think it's an awesome organization. I have yet to attend one of their meetings, but they do meet just down the street from my house, maybe about actually quite a few streets from my house in downtown Oakland. But I'm looking forward to attending their space next weekend for the Tech 808 conference, and also meeting some other people that look like me that are participating in tech. So I do have plans of hopefully in getting involved in that community. Just at the time, I've got too much going on as far as the block course. But as that starts to wrap up in the next 6 months, yeah, so it's not really wrapping up anytime soon. Once I start winding that down, I'm going to start looking into getting involved more in the community and as I get more free time available. Finally, for my picks, I want to pick specifically a library I'm looking into contributing to. One thing I really liked about Go, and I still like about Go, is the Go format. Go has this plugin that's actually, I think, built in. Oh, it's not built in. It's actually, so I guess I installed it with Vim so that every time I save my Go file, it formats my file. So I could write syntactically spacing and all. I could write stuff off. And as when I save the file, the formatting tool will actually go through and format the actual file to the Go standards as far as. So it's kind of like a live linter. So I enjoyed that about Go. And I found that the same thing with Rust. Unfortunately, I'm not really finding that the Rust formatting is as similar. It does certain things. I'm not sure if I configured it right, so I'm still looking into it, but I still wanted to use that as my pick this week to check that out. If you are trying out Rust and you've read my blog post or you've been listening to the past two podcasts, I highly recommend looking into that formatting tool. I'm not as knowledgeable as other plugins and tools for Rust as of yet, but hopefully I'll have more tips down the road. And then finally, for my Bay Area tip, I am going to pick Hawk Hill. Hawk Hill is a park on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. So on the north side, I guess it's called North Bay or Marin County. Marin County has got a lot of walkable trails. It's got a different sort of climate than you have here in San Francisco, or even the climate that I mentioned last week in Oakland. And I kind of attribute this part less of a Mediterranean climate and more of like a Great Britain, like UK, Ireland type of climate. It just has that sort of feel. I've been watching a lot of British television shows, particularly, I know this is my pick, but like Broadchurch. I've been watching a lot of Doctor Who in the last year also, but that sort of climate you see in those shows and movies, and I kind of felt like that was a lot similar, even though I've never been to Great Britain at all, or the UK. I find that the weather was, it was a nice little break from what I'm used to, which is super hot Florida weather. So I think if you ever have a chance to visit the Bay Area, or if you even live in the Bay Area, I highly recommend checking out Hawk Hill and checking out some of those walkable trails. That's it. Wait, I'm not, just cut this whole thing out.